It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
William Gargan stars as Barry Craig, confidential investigator. I knew a man once who thought epitaphs were the noblest form of literature. I liked them too. It's the one place where they say only nice things about you. The only trouble is you don't hear them until you're dead. The National Broadcasting Company presents William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Barry Craig speaking. I spent most of the afternoon composing a snide letter in my mind to the management of the office building where I read an office. Although I had no fundamental objections to a little dust here and there, I felt nevertheless that it ought to be disturbed from time to time. The old lady picked by the management to do the cleaning apparently had other ideas. They consisted mostly of rearranging the furniture in the office. This was a small laugh because the furniture consisted of one desk and two chairs. By the time I got the letter all finished, I was too tired to write it. I decided to let it go till the next morning. That way, I'd be employed for another day. Hey, this was no hour to acquire a client. What did they think, anyway, that Barry Craig didn't keep office hours like anyone else? If that's what they thought, they were right. Come in. Oh, good afternoon.
Craig?
That's right.
My name is Jason Potter.
How do you do?
I'm disturbed about my wife.
Well, that happens. Has she been making eyes at people, or what?
Not at all. I almost wish she had.
How large and almost is that?
It was merely a manner of speaking.
My apologies.
What disturbs me is her sudden interest in literature.
You don't approve of literature?
It's not that. You see, Mr. Craig, my wife has been going about pricing epitaphs.
You're telling me this why? You want me to interest your wife in a short story, maybe? Or a rhymed couplet instead of epitaphs?
I want you to make sure that she has no immediate use for any epitaphs she may be smitten by.
She's epitaph happy? Or just unhappy about you?
That is hardly your concern.
So far, none of this is my concern.
Perhaps I can change your mind. So?
Well, nice white envelope.
Look inside, will you?
Okay. Well, $500. You really don't care for epitaphs, do you?
Not my own. Not for some time yet.
How long do I have to keep you alive in order to earn this?
Until I get my divorce.
I don't handle divorce cases.
It won't be necessary for you to. I have all the required evidence. I merely want you to see to it that I'm divorced by a judge, not by a bullet.
Mr. Potter stared at me for a moment out of very cold blue eyes, turned, and left. His tailoring impressed me from the rear as strongly as it had from the front. He shut the door quietly behind him, proving he was a gentleman. I counted the bills that had been in the white envelope all over again. This proved I wasn't a gentleman. It still came out to $500, so I went to work. I picked up the Potters at their townhouse. Of course, I didn't know if they had a country house, but they certainly had a townhouse. All they needed was Grant to make it a dead ringer for Grant's tomb. They went downtown and I followed them. They parked and I parked. They walked into the Parakeet nightclub and I walked into the Parakeet nightclub.
Good evening, mister. I take your hat, no?
No, no. You couldn't put my hat in with those others you've got there.
Why not, mister?
They'd probably walk out and protest.
Mister's a wit, no?
Monsieur is no wit at all. Not only that, but he remembers you from Brooklyn.
Oh, monsieur makes the dress. Barry Craig.
Hi, Marge.
Not Marge, Mr. Craig. I'm Cece. The management decided they needed a French hat set girl. I think they kind of figured it was sexy or something.
I'm sure the hat's appreciated.
So I'm Cece.
You make a very nice Cece. That couple that just walked in, the Potters, do you know anything about them?
Oh, no, not a thing, Mr. Craig. Of course, Mrs. Potter's name used to be Gloria Blair. Her father used to be a millionaire, only recently he wasn't a millionaire anymore. She's 27 years old. Her hair used to be 3 shades lighter, and she's got a small mole under her left shoulder blade. She hates pajamas. Gosh, I wish I could help you out.
But you don't know a thing about her.
That's right, Mr. Blake.
What was she doing before she married Potter?
For fun or to eat?
To eat.
She didn't eat much.
No.
But for a while, she tried to make a buck as a singer. Here.
Potter struck me as being a very cautious cookie. How did she manage to land him?
To laugh.
Cece, I'd like to laugh, too.
Oh. Well, I think they incorporated her.
They incorporated? Cece, how would you like to be strangled?
Gosh, I don't know. I guess the fellas I've been out with were too bashful to try.
Who incorporated Gloria Potter?
A Mr. Jones, mostly. You see, Mr. Potter was always scared some girl would marry him for his money. He's silly. What else does a girl get married for?
Well, I'll check, and if I find out, I'll let you know.
But seeing Mr. Potter was so prejudiced, but Mr. Jones gave Gloria a lot of money so she could pretend she was still rich. And she did, and Mr. Potter married her, and it was very romantic.
Yeah, I can see that. Where could I find this Mr. Jones if I wanted to?
You want him to incorporate you, too?
No, I'm not planning on getting married.
Well, Mr. Jones, his first name is Oswald, but he doesn't like people to know that. He's got a very beautiful apartment over at the Barham Towers. It's kind of a hunting lodge. It's on the 11th floor.
A hunting lodge on the 11th floor? What does he hunt? Well, never mind. I'd better get back to work. So long, Cece.
Gosh, I wish there was something I could have told you about, Gloria Potter.
It had been an interesting interlude along the sidelines, but it was time for me to get back into the main arena. The Parakeet was a very handsome and expensive nightclub, filled with handsome and expensive people. I waved off a head waiter and stabbed myself a table a couple of feet from the one occupied by the Potters. I had my first chance to take a good look at Mrs. Potter. I took a very good look. Mrs. Potter was worth it. At which point, somebody may have noticed my staring and decided to make it hard. They put the lights out. I made a dash for Potter's table and Potter. I got a hold of him. He objected, but I didn't treat him gently. Maybe the shot hadn't been fired at Potter. It would have been a coincidence. I felt just as happy I hadn't tried to prove it. The lights went on after a while. How do you do, Mrs. Potter?
Who are you? What have you done to my husband?
My name is Barry Craig, and I think I've knocked him out.
What on earth?
I had to get him out of that chair.
Barry!
Mrs. Potter, who do you think those shots were fired at? About this time, we got lots of company. Head waiters, managers, newspaper columnists, and stuff. We should have got the police, too, but the kind of people who go to nightclubs like the Parakeet can afford not to be public. The police were kept out. Potter began to revive after a while, and the incident could be considered closed. But before it was quite closed, Mrs. Potter and I had a snack in dialogue.
You must have been expecting an attempt on my husband's life.
I had it in mind.
Are you going to talk to the police?
I've got no objection to talking to the police. As a matter of fact, some of my best friends are policemen.
I wish you wouldn't. I don't suppose there'd be any use.
No, but people try, though.
Mr. Craig, what are you doing later tonight?
I might try sleeping.
Before you do that, and before you talk to the police, please come to my house.
Any particular reason?
My husband doesn't understand me.
That isn't a very particular reason, is it?
What he doesn't understand has nothing to do with romance, Mr. Craig.
Oh, then it's a switch. What does it have to do with?
Murder.
At which point, Mr. Potter regained what was consciousness for him, and they left. I tried to leave right after them, but ran into a little trouble.
shooting had leaked somehow, and a few cops dropped in. They were too late for the potters, but they were in time to hold me up. Not very long, but sometimes a half hour can be much too long. I was a little worried by the time I got to the potter's front door. I didn't want Gloria to think that I turned her invitation down. Not so much because I was afraid of hurting her feelings, but because I had a notion that things were happening too fast. Right. It was a solid door. It had been built well. Nothing happened, except I got a bruised shoulder out of the accident.
Who?
Mary Craig, Mrs. Potter. Excuse me.
You came.
I came, only I think I was a little late, wasn't I? Those shots.
They came from my husband's study.
Let's go ask your husband what he thought of them.
All
right. Anyone else in the house except your husband and you?
Not so far as I know. The servants are away.
That makes it convenient.
Makes what convenient?
Cuts the list of suspects down.
Suspects?
Yeah, in case those shots were aimed any better than the ones back at the club.
That's the door.
Your husband's room?
Yes.
I used a handkerchief on the doorknob. If you don't mind, I wouldn't want to disturb any fingerprints, either if they happened to be yours.
Well, you... It opened, but...
But it was closed when you tried it?
It was.
At least that's the way you're telling it. Let's go in. Yeah, Mr. Potter. If you're trying to be delicate about whether or not he's alive, you don't have to be. He can't hear you.
Then he is dead.
Dead as they come. And when they're murdered, they come very dead. Gloria Potter went to her room in order to grieve, exult. I didn't bother speculating. I phoned the police and waited until they came.
Barry?
Yes, Lieutenant Rogers?
Stop being so formal. I got the report of the business back at the Parakeet Club.
I imagined you would.
You were there too, Barry.
Uh-huh.
And then you show up here.
It looks suspicious as anything.
Now, don't kid me just because I went to college, Barry. It wasn't my fault. I was an underprivileged child. My parents had money.
We won't hold it against you. Maybe even as the years go by, you'll be able to overcome your handicap.
I'd try. Barry, why were you here?
Mrs. Potter asked me to stop in.
That's what you said the first time I asked you.
It must be a coincidence.
The captain won't like it.
Why not?
This month he doesn't believe in coincidences. I think it has something to do with the stars. Barry, you had a date here to do what?
Mrs. Potter asked me to stop in. She said she wanted to explain something to me about how her husband didn't understand her.
That's not going to sound so good in a murder trial.
Doesn't sound so good even here. Have you talked to her?
The doctor tells me she's suffering from shock. Translated, it means she doesn't want to answer any questions just now. I wonder why.
Maybe she doesn't know the answer. Are you going to book her, Trev?
I don't know. 9 times out of 10, I would.
What makes this the 10th time?
I'm not sure. Not enough facts, for one thing. For another, nobody's mentioned a motive to me yet. You got a motive handy?
I looked hastily through my pockets, but couldn't find a motive. Lieutenant Rogers watched me with a highly unimpressed eye. I shrugged my shoulders and asked the lieutenant if I could leave. He wasn't happy about it, but I left anyway. Sure, I might have supplied him with some information about a motive, but it wasn't entirely my own secret. I thought maybe I ought to get Mr. Jones' permission, Mr. Oswald Jones. It wasn't hard to find the Barham Towers. The 11th floor had an elevator running to it, which I used. It may have been a hunting lodge, but it had an ordinary door out in front of it. I hoped Oswald wasn't out hunting.
Yes?
The name is Barry Craig. You're Mr. Jones?
I am.
Mind if I come in?
That would depend on the nature of your business, Mr. Craig.
I'm a confidential investigator.
Indeed. That, however, is your occupation. Your errand?
Gloria Potter.
I dislike seeming finicky, but that again is merely a name, not a description of the reason that brings you here.
I seem to be having a little logical difficulty with you, Mr. Jones. But Mr. Potter is having difficulty of another sort.
Mr. Potter? And his difficulty is what?
His difficulty was staying alive. He doesn't have any more difficulty now.
Meaning he's dead?
He's dead.
It was kind of you to bring me the information. You brought it, and...
And I'm coming in.
You have, of course, the advantage of youth and perhaps of strength. I resent your intrusion, however.
While you're resenting it, you might shut the door.
Very well.
You must be a very happy man, Mr. Jones.
Indeed.
Sure. An investment has paid off tonight.
Perhaps I misunderstand you. I thought you were a confidential investigator, not a broker's agent.
The investment I'm talking about doesn't have very much to do with the stock market, I don't think. It has to do with Gloria Potter.
A lovely lady, but hardly...
Hardly a dividend? She's returning dividends, though, or she will shortly be in a position to, anyway.
You had better make yourself clearer.
That's right. You staked Gloria Potter so she could marry a millionaire who was afraid that women were after him for his money.
I may have lent Mrs. Potter some money in the days before she was married.
At what interest?
Look here, young man. I think we have done enough fencing. I've already told you I did lend Gloria Potter some money. I expect to have it returned. Whether with interest or not is no concern of yours.
It might be a concern of the police.
The police? Where do they come in?
You do it very well, if it's an act, that is. Mr. Potter not only died, he was murdered.
How distressing.
You should practice expressions of distress. You didn't do that very convincingly.
I'm not trying to convince anyone of anything.
You lent Gloria money. You expected a return on it. That would have been fine. She did succeed in getting Potter to marry her, but Miss Jones, Potter was preparing to divorce her.
Such, alas, are the vicissitudes of matrimony. One can never be certain, can one?
You can spare me the philosophical remarks about matrimony. If Potter had lived long enough to divorce Gloria, you'd never have got your investment back, or the profit on it.
Then I suppose I must be mildly pleased that Mr. Potter did not succeed in divorcing Gloria.
Sure, you must be pleased. What I'm curious about is, how much of an effort did you make to guarantee your investment?
Are you implying that I had anything to do with Mr. Potter's unhappy deceit?
I'm asking you if you had anything to do with murdering him.
That seems to me rather naive, Mr. Craig. Assuming that I may have had a hand in his untimely taking off, would I be likely to tell you about it?
I don't know. There are no witnesses present. You could tell me in perfect safety.
Perhaps. But why on earth should I?
It might satisfy your ego.
Mr. Craig, I am no longer a young man. I was never a handsome one. I perforce learned a great many years ago to abjure ego satisfaction, at least of the more obvious sort. I think the hour is late. I think your visit here an impertinence. Good night.
Okay, good night.
Mr. Craig, that is not the direction of the front door.
I know it is.
Hey, but don't bring you.
Sure, but join us, won't you?
I'm sorry, Mr. Jones. It doesn't matter, Baker.
How do you do, Baker? Were you having fun listening in?
Mr. Jones. Mr. Craig. This is my home. If I choose to have Baker stand by in case I should need protection against intruders like you...
I just wanted to find out exactly what Mr. Baker's job was.
You found out. And now...
And now I leave. Mr. Jones.
Yes?
Has Baker got a license for that gun he's carrying? I left my car parked three quarters of the way down the block from the bomb towers. I didn't hurry getting to it. Maybe I thought somebody might take advantage of my being out in the open like this. The street was clear of pedestrians and of traffic. If anybody was going to take a crack at removing Barry Craig from the case, this was the time I preferred. I was waiting for it. But nobody took advantage. I got into the car. Then I stuck the ignition key in the lock, turned it, and got out of the car as fast as I could move. Nothing on my car is supposed to tick when you turn the ignition key on. It was pretty obvious the engine would need an overhaul. I didn't stay around to admire the wreckage. I thought that anyone who had gone to all that trouble of depositing an explosive in my car and hooking it up with ignition deserved to think that I'd been blown up with it, for a while at least. Besides, I had a phone call to make.
Homicide, Lieutenant Rogers.
Hello, Trav.
Found any motors yet?
No, but I found something else.
What?
A wrecked car.
Whose wrecked car?
Mine.
We don't issue traffic tickets in homicide.
This particular car is in your jurisdiction, though. Or would have been if I hadn't got out of it fast enough.
Somebody arranged to have it wrecked?
Somebody arranged to have it blow up with me in it.
Where are you?
Now, that's not important at the moment. Trav, you've got a handful of uniformed men hanging around the late Mr. Potter's residence?
Sure.
Take them away.
Are you losing your mind?
No, I'm trying to find the killer. Trav and I had a small argument for a few minutes, and finally he gave up. I hung up. Then I tossed a metal coin to see who I would visit next. Turned out to be Mrs. Potter. Of course, I cheated. I wondered how surprised Gloria Potter would be to see me.
Oh, Mr. Craig.
She wasn't much surprised. May I come in?
I suppose so. I don't have much of a right to decide what to do or what not to do right now.
That sounds very bitter.
It is.
The cops have been getting in your hair?
It's their job, I suppose.
Well, they're not working at it anymore.
What do you mean?
No more cops around the house.
You're joking.
No. You've got a window. Take a look.
I shall. But you're right. Is that why you came? Because you knew the police had gone?
Could be.
Then you're another...
Send him another what?
Nothing. Well, if it is something, you'll tell me yourself in due time.
I can make a guess. If the guess happens to be right, then I understand a lot of things I didn't before.
I'm not really interested.
You should be, for two reasons. One, the murder of your husband. Two, the attempted murder of me.
Someone who tried to murder you?
Uh-huh.
Why?
Maybe because I was crowding someone. Someone who had already disposed of your husband.
Need you bring that up?
Sure. Your husband hired me. He was afraid he wasn't going to live long enough to divorce you. He didn't. Now, you might try telling me the truth.
About what?
For example, what do you hear from Mr. Jones?
Mr. Jones?
Mr. Oswald Jones. The gentleman who bought you the platinum tooth trap for Jason Potter.
You have to get into it too, don't you?
That, too. It means someone else got in on the deal. You also said that I must be another. Another what? You didn't answer that. You mind if I make a guess?
I don't mind anything you do.
Thanks. When I walked in here and told you the cops were gone, you thought I took advantage of their absence to come. You thought I was a blackmailer?
Well,
thanks for telling me. It rounds out the picture. There must be someone else here in the house.
No.
Sure, there must be. After my car blew up, I had a phone call to make. That took time. I took a cab over. It took time before I found one. But whoever had arranged to have that car blow up wouldn't have hung around. He'd have come here.
I don't know what you're...
Someone else must have known that your husband was preparing to divorce you.
I don't think that's been a very great secret.
That would have given him a nice handle for blackmail. And then... Mr. Jones. Yeah, Mr. Jones. Complete with revolver.
I'm afraid I've been eavesdropping.
For how long?
A matter of minutes only. I missed the beginning of the conversation, but on the other hand, I don't think I missed anything important.
Okay, you didn't miss anything important. What now?
You've become rather a nuisance, Craig, both to Mrs. Potter and to myself.
All right, I've become a nuisance. So what?
What does one generally do with nuisances? One removes them.
That's a bright idea. Was it also your bright idea to kill Potter?
I hardly think you're in a position to ask questions.
You're not in a position not to answer them. You see, Mr. Jones, an attempt was made on my life less than an hour ago and less than 100 yards from your house.
Oh, nonsense.
No, a wrecked car. You must have noticed it, leaving your house there. There would have been a crowd about it.
Oh, now that you mention it, yes, but...
Naturally, you knew nothing about it.
Well, naturally.
Which is what you'd say whether you'd set that bomb or not. However, the point is that the police know about that attempt.
Interesting.
More than that. Anything happens to me, and you're the first man they look for.
I should be found quite easily. But that hardly constitutes proof.
No, but how much proof would they need against a man with your record?
I'm inclined to see your point. What do you want?
Your silence for a few minutes. I was carrying on an interesting conversation with Mrs. Potter. She was about to tell me that someone was blackmailing her. She was also about to tell me why.
What's the use? You know why I was being blackmailed. Jason was going to divorce me. The police didn't seem to know about it. As long as they didn't know, I was safe. The instant they found out, they'd suspect me. So I was in a position to be blackmailed.
I'm afraid I must have missed something. Exactly who is this blackmailer?
Oh, there's no hurry about that as yet. Jones, in the event that Potter had divorced his wife, where would you have been?
In a most despondent frame of mind and in financially straitened circumstances. You must know that, however.
Sure, I know it. But it's nice to find out from the horse's mouth. Pardon the expression.
Not at all.
The next time I see a horse, I'll apologize to him, too. Okay, it's all set up. We know the background, the reason. All we need is the name. Which one shall it be, Mr. Jones? Your name?
I did not murder Mr. Potter.
How about you, Mrs. Potter?
I couldn't have killed him.
Sure you could have. The attempt at the nightclub. You were sitting right next to him at the table. And the murder happened in your husband's study. You'd know your way around here, wouldn't you? It was open.
I don't...
Shut up.
What's that?
The Marines, I think.
Whatever are you talking about?
Don't the Marines always land and have the situation well in hand?
I suppose in your adolescent way, you're referring to the police.
I had Lieutenant Rogers pull the uniformed men away from the house. I figured they would encourage some people to drop in on Mrs. Potter. He agreed, but I imagine he's insisted on bringing some non-uniformed men around.
I shall leave.
Not quite yet.
Why not?
Because I object. Because the police will object. And because I think someone else might object.
Someone else?
Mrs. Potter, that door opposite the one both Jones and I used to get in here, where does it lead?
The next room. It's a sort of downstairs bedroom.
Anybody been using it recently?
I...
Or do you always leave doors half ajar?
I was afraid. He said he'd kill me if I...
I bet he did. Come on in, Baker.
Drop your gun, Mr. Jones.
Baker?
I said drop it.
Very well.
That's good.
Good heavens. Why, Baker?
Why? Because Baker, being your man, would know about your deal with Mrs. Potter. He'd know about the impending divorce. It put him in a nice position. He killed Potter and prepared to live off the inheritance for the rest of his life. He knew he'd have you to deal with sooner or later, but he figured that when that time arose, he'd manage. No one would really miss you.
I suppose you're right.
It had to be Baker. No one else would have bothered about me. Mrs. Potter knew I was on the case, and you were with me at the time the bomb was planted.
As soon as you entered, he could have left the apartment, gone down, connected the bomb, and then returned. Yes, I see that.
He thought I was competition. He decided to remove competition. He might just as well have signed his name to a confession of guilt.
That's just it, white guy. Right now, all I got to do is get out of here, first making sure of you, and then...
I guess you didn't believe me about the police, did you? But they're here. They're surrounding the house.
I can take my chances on that. Right now, what have I got to lose?
Nothing. This isn't where you're going to lose it.
Mr. Craig.
I'm afraid I shot Mr. Baker. Not seriously.
But...
The trouble with villains is they listen to the radio too much. On the radio, the hero never has a gun. Or if he has, never bothers shooting it. I'm different. I have a gun, and when someone is pointing a gun at me and intending to use it...
Oh, I'm so glad.
I trust the matter is, for the moment, satisfactorily concluded.
Depends on what you mean by satisfactorily.
I meant simply that Mrs. Potter seems to be advancing upon you with an expression of the intensest gratitude, and I suspect you will shortly fling her arms about your neck and...
I'm a bit crazy thing.
Kiss you. I'm not a squeamish man, Mr. Craig, but there are some things I draw the line at. Good night.
Jones left. The police didn't mind. They had no charges to prefer against him. Mr. Baker didn't mind. He was unconscious. I didn't mind. I was... But that's another story, and not one I have any intention whatsoever of telling.
To William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, Dead Lost, was written by Lou Vittis. Next week, it's the strange story of the big grab, about which Barry Craig has this to say.
Next week, four crooks and a discarded wife gang up on a fight camp in a plot to steal its purse, only to find the camp has a secret weapon handy. The Triple Cross. Good night, folks. See you next week.
Featured in the role of Gloria was Fran Collins. Barry Craig, starring William Gargan, was under the direction of Hyman Brown. This is Don Pardo speaking. Thank you.
This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Bromo Seltzer and NBC bring you William Gargan, starring as Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
The major trouble with murder as a career is that it has no future. You come pretty quickly to the end of your rope, and usually it's around your neck.
Bromo Seltzer, famous for fast relief of headache and upset stomach, and the National Broadcasting Company present William Gargan in another transcribed drama of mystery and adventure with America's number one detective, Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
This is Bill Gargan. Before I tell you about tonight's story, which I call The Crimson Queen, here's a word from Bromo Seltzer, famous for fast relief of upset stomach as well as headache.
Miss Jordan, report to clinic. Miss Jordan, report to clinic. Miss Jordan.
In a recent clinical test, 8 out of 10 nurses reported that for upset stomach, Bromo Seltzer works best. Actually, Bromo Seltzer relieved distress of upset stomach better, more effectively than any of the 5 leading upset stomach remedies which were studied. You see, sparkling, refreshing Bromo Seltzer contains sodium citrate, one of the finest ingredients known to doctors for the relief of acid indigestion. And only Bromo Seltzer gently relieves nervous tension so often associated with upset stomach. So remember,
8 out of 10 nurses report for upset stomach, Bromo Seltzer works best.
Next time, for prompt relief of upset stomach as well as headache, take Bromo Seltzer, the one leading remedy proved best by a recent clinical test. For best results, use cool water. Follow the label. Avoid excessive use. And remember,
8 out of 10 nurses report for upset stomach, Bromo Seltzer works best.
Barry Craig speaking. Wintertime, and the nights may be longer, but if you're a confidential investigator like I am, this does you very little good. Except that it gets you out of your office that much quicker. But in my case, it generally gets me over to Willie's wagon, which isn't bad. It's warm there, the windows are steamed over. There's a feeling of being protected against the wind and snow and cold. The only trouble is, there's also Willie's food.
Craig.
Yes, Willie?
I ever make cracks about your investigating?
No.
Then lay off my food.
I'd like to.
I'm at the cracks. What's the matter with that hamburger you're working on?
I don't think it's completely dead.
Then drink some coffee. That'll kill it.
What'll it do to me?
You ain't had a stomach lining for 10 years. What are you worrying about?
Touché.
Touché. Yeah, some days you can't make a nickel. Hey, what do you know? Maybe a cash customer.
Hey, there's something wrong with this.
Mr. Craig.
Yes?
My name is Hanson. Peter Hanson. I...
Hey, you better grab a stool. You look...
No, never mind. I was at your office. Elevator men told me I might find you here.
Jake was right.
Want to retain you.
Well, that's not hard, but...
Want to retain you to find...
Yes?
My murderer.
Oh. Hey, he passed out.
Yeah. Way out.
What?
He was holding the front of his coat together with one hand. It's open now.
So what? Oh, that's blood.
A knife wound. Blood's still coming out, which means he was stabbed not very long ago. Something in his other hand. If I can get it out. Yeah.
What is it?
Part of a chess set. A queen. A crimson queen. Peter Hansen had come to Willie's wagon with a fatal wound in his chest and a crimson queen gripped tightly in his hand. Peter Hansen had come to Willie's wagon to die there and had died.
You want I should call the cops?
In a minute.
They might not like you going through his pockets.
Who's going to tell him about it?
Okay, but...
He was my client.
Not for long. Didn't pay him much either.
Bargain basement tonight. All right. You can notify the police now.
Find anything on him?
Just an address.
Some days nobody can make a nickel. Hey, you leaving?
Yeah.
Well, should I tell the cops you were here?
Sure.
And where shall I tell them you went?
Where? Tell them I went looking for a chess game. Peter Hansen's house ran to a barbered lawn, ivy on the walls, and a butler in the doorway.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening.
You wish to see...
Mr. Hansen.
Come in, sir. Who shall I say is...
Barry Craig.
Very good, Mr. Craig. I'll tell Mr. Hansen you're here.
Wait a minute. You're sure he's in?
Oh, yes, sir. Mr. Hansen's in the study.
Doing what?
Playing chess, sir.
I didn't like to call the butler a liar, so lowbred. On the other hand, I was pretty sure I hadn't been dreaming. I decided to be lowbred. You could be mistaken.
Oh, no, sir. If you'll wait here...
I'd get lonely. So let's go to the study together, huh?
But...
Or shall I try it all by myself?
Very well.
Yes, sir.
Lead the way.
Now, this is most... Most?
Sure it is. You just think harshly of me. Maybe that'll make you feel better.
I don't know what Mr. Hansen will say.
Funny, but I've got a feeling he won't say anything. Is that the door to the study?
Yes, sir, I'll...
No. You go back to the pantry or wherever it is butlers hang out.
I couldn't...
A brawl would be even worse, wouldn't it?
I suppose so.
What's your name?
Groves, sir.
Goodbye, Groves. I opened the door of the study and walked in. Nobody noticed me. It was the kind of room that looks maybe a little hackneyed after you've seen enough English pictures. But I guess the movies got the idea from someplace. There was a small table over at the far end near the fireplace. There was a chessboard on the table covered with chess pieces. And there was a chess game going on.
Yes, Groves, what is it?
Oh, this isn't Groves.
Then go away. I can't be disturbed. My bishop's in a dreadful position.
So's Peter Hansen.
What? Oh, you're not Groves.
I already mentioned that. If you'd looked up from the board a little quicker...
Who are you?
Barry Craig.
Groves had orders...
I canceled them. I threatened to start a brawl. Well, everybody knows who I am. I don't know who anybody is.
Then why come here?
You can do something besides play chess and laugh.
Yes.
I didn't exactly mean...
You meant introducing people to people.
Uh-huh.
I'm Mona Bailey, and he is Walter Hansen.
How do you do?
Well, now that that's been taken care of...
We're just beginning, Mr. Hansen. This is your house?
Oh, nonsense.
Sorry.
Peter is the wealthy one.
Your brother?
Of course he's my brother.
There's a resemblance.
Well, naturally there would be. You said something about Peter before, didn't you?
Yes, I said he was in a bad position.
You said, to be precise, that he was in a worse position than my bishop. I'm about to lose my bishop.
You've already lost your brother. I tried hard to watch both Walter Hansen and the girl when I let that one go. I had some idea about analyzing the expressions on their faces. It didn't work. Walter had no expression, and Mona's face was not the face of a woman you'd expect to find spending a long winter evening playing chess.
Apparently, your message is of some importance. I'm not quite sure of its meaning.
Nothing fancy about it. Your brother's dead.
Oh, dear.
Wouldn't you like to add a little something to that outburst of wild grief, Miss Bailey?
Mrs. Bailey.
My mistake.
Not a very serious one. My husband's dead.
So you turn to chess?
I have quite a strong feeling that all this is, this conversation is improper.
You may be right.
Peter's death is, of course, a great shock. A very great shock.
You've said so.
But, how did he die? Automobile accident or,
Heart failure.
Oh? Strange, though. I had no idea Peter's heart was weak.
It wasn't until someone stuck a knife in it. The pair of them were good. Very good. All they did was stare politely at me. I might have just told them the fuchsias in the greenhouse were suffering from a spot of blight, or maybe mildew.
How distressing.
Yes. On the other hand, now you're the wealthy brother.
Why, yes. Yes, now that you mention it. Oh, but only half as wealthy.
Who gets the other half?
I do.
Peter Hansen left you half as dough because you play such good chess?
I was married to his sister's only child.
Oh, that's good. Keeps it in the family. Walter over there was in quite a hurry to let me know you had as good a reason as he had for...
Murdering Peter? But how could either of us have murdered him? He was alive when he left the house.
When?
Oh, about an hour ago. And we, Walter and I, have been here ever since.
Together?
Together.
That right, Mr. Hansen?
Of course it is.
Playing chess?
Yes.
The number of moves both of you made figures. Your bishop is in a bad position, Mr. Hansen.
I know it.
But, Mrs. Bailey...
Yes?
Where's your red queen? Mona Bailey had the red pieces, minus a couple of pawns which were lying at the side of the board, and a red queen which wasn't anywhere as I could see. But then I already knew where it was.
I lost it.
Careless of you to go shopping with it.
I meant Walter took it.
That means it would be off the board, but...
I was so angry with myself, I threw it in the fire.
A wild impulse?
Well, I suppose. You see, I've quite a temper.
Sure. Only thing is, your queen file hasn't been opened yet. It would have been impossible for any white piece to take it.
I like the kind of detectives they have on radio much better.
What kind's that?
The kind that doesn't know anything about chess. Still, Walter will confirm my anecdote, won't he, dear?
Of course. You became angry and threw it in the fire.
The Red Queen.
The Red Queen.
Wouldn't it be a shame if it turned up someplace else? Good night.
Wait, don't...
Pay no attention to him, my dear.
I can't let him go without... Oh.
You better answer that. It'll be the police. They'll have news for you. Except it won't be news, will it? I left the study and went down the hall to the front door. Somewheres behind me, someone was answering a telephone. And someone else was slamming a door. I didn't pay attention. I got to the front door and went through it. The lawn was still as neatly barbered, and the moonlight lay smooth and cold on it. I started across it, and back in the house, somebody opened a window. But not to let some fresh air in.
To Barry Craig in just a moment. In these uncertain times, it's hard to plan for the future, but more and more American girls are discovering a career that offers both opportunity and security. That career is in modern nursing. You may have old-fashioned ideas about the profession of nursing, and if you do, you owe it to yourself to find out just what this field offers you today. There are new and greater opportunities in this job now than ever before. Today's student nurse receives a valuable professional education, works with interesting and friendly associations, and when your training is completed, there are jobs waiting with airlines, with the Red Cross, in foreign service, with the armed forces, and in many industries. The demand for nurses is continually increasing. To become a student nurse, you must be a high school graduate or a college student of good health and character. If you can qualify, get full information at the nearest hospital in your community. And now back to William Gargan, starring as Barry Craig Confidential Investigator.
I'm not crazy about the great outdoors, but when you're being shot at, you've got room to move. I moved. That lawn had been overdone. The bushes at the edge looked like home, but home was far away. When I got there, the barrage gave up. I shot a look at the house, but the marksman hadn't put the lights on behind that open window. And at this distance, I couldn't tell which window it was. I thought for a minute of going back to the house and getting indignant. It was a very short minute. Then I started moving away from the house. Jake. Jake.
Stop shouting.
I had to wake you up.
Wasn't asleep.
Your eyes were shut and your mouth was open.
That's so?
That's so.
I was concentrating.
On what?
Springtime.
It happens to be the middle of the winter.
That's what makes it hard.
You know, Jake, there are times when I don't think you're the best elevator man in the world.
You should have seen me farming in Vermont.
Why?
I was even worse at that. You going upstairs at this hour of the night?
No, but I've got a question for you. You sent a man over to Willie's wagon earlier tonight.
Yeah.
Small man, perhaps around 60, pink and white complexion, gray hat, gray overcoat.
Name of Peter Hansen.
That's right. He said he wanted to see me.
Yeah.
What time was it?
Around 8:30.
Which would be about right. 15 minutes for him to get to Willie's wagon, give or take five, and... Jake.
Yeah.
Did he look all right to you?
Looked beautiful.
What does that mean?
Dollar tip.
Aside from that...
I didn't notice anything wrong.
That's not positive enough. Jake, did he have his coat open when he was in here?
Yeah, he had to.
Why?
To get at that dollar.
That's what I wanted to know. It means he was stabbed on his way from here to the wagon, not before.
Does, eh?
Has to be that way.
This fella stabbed bad?
Bad as you can be. Jake, did he mention why he wanted to see me?
No.
Reason's obvious enough by now. Good night, Jake.
Good night. Well, Mr. Craig, you ain't going up?
I'm going home, I think.
Getting old?
No more than usual. Why?
I'm getting old more than usual, but I still wouldn't go home.
What would you do?
I'd go up to my office.
There's someone up in the office?
Yeah. Got here a couple of minutes before you did.
Did he mention his name?
She didn't.
She? What did she look like?
Springtime.
Mona Bailey.
Oh, that what they're calling it this year?
Thanks, Jake.
You ain't using the elevator?
No, the stairs.
You need exercise?
I need to make sure she doesn't know I'm on my way. I could be wrong, but she might be here to finish an unfinished job. 3 flights aren't a lot to climb, but they took me longer than you'd think. Of course, Mona Bailey might not have been the marksman behind the open window, but the odds weren't too good. And when someone has decided you make a lovely target, you need all the odds there are. Even if she reminds the night elevator man of springtime. I pushed the door open, but didn't use the doorway. Not for a couple of seconds. Nothing happened. I called myself a coward and walked through the doorway. Mona Bailey had whirled in the chair as I came through the doorway, and she wasn't holding a chess piece in her hand. Hello?
Mr. Craig.
Please don't call all this a coincidence.
Oh, it isn't.
Thanks. That gun in your hand might be a mistake, though.
Not really. You see, I didn't know who'd be coming through that door.
And now that you know?
I'll put the gun away.
In the pocket of your coat.
Well, a girl never knows when she might need a gun.
As, for example, at 8:30 this evening...
Is that when Peter Hansen was killed?
Roughly. Weren't you watching the time?
You're being unkind. Are you always unkind?
Call it self-defense. What did you want here?
I might have wanted to see you again.
So soon?
We weren't alone the last time we met.
We weren't close enough then for me to notice your perfume.
And now you've noticed it?
I'll remember it. When I get to be as old as Jake.
That's too long to wait.
I'll wait. Until you tell me why you searched the office. You didn't get a chance to close a couple of the desk drawers.
You might have left them open.
I might have, but I didn't.
Good night, Mr. Craig.
You're jumping cues. There's more conversation coming.
Noticing those desk drawers, Mr. Craig, while I was close to you, is insulting.
Call it an occupational disease. What were you looking for? A red queen?
I told you, I threw it in the fire.
Peter Hansen's right hand wasn't singed.
Singed?
As it would have been had he pulled the queen he was holding when he died out of the fire.
Oh.
I don't have it. By now, the police do. You try your story on them, they won't bother tying up loose ends.
They'll arrest me?
What do you think?
What should I do?
You were playing chess with Peter Hansen. Say at 8. Then what?
He said he had an appointment and left. So Walter took his place at the board.
And played with you?
Yes.
Without a queen? Still no good. Peter Hansen left. Where was Walter Hansen at the time?
In his room, I guess.
And he didn't join you till when?
Nearly 9.
Therefore, he can't alibi you.
No.
After I walked out of the Hansen house before, what did you do?
I went to get my things. I knew I'd have to follow you. I hoped I'd be able to get here before you did, so I could look for the queen. I thought you had it.
You sure you didn't stop to slow me up by firing a few bullets at me?
I didn't.
Any witnesses to what you say happened?
How could there be?
I wouldn't know. We might try finding out. Come here to the window. Stay to one side, though.
All right.
That car across the street. Yours?
I came by cab.
Recognize the car?
It's the Hansen car. It belonged, like everything else, to Peter.
Know who's driving it?
I can't see from up here.
How would you like a chance to convince me that that the perfume you use isn't something to forget?
I'd like such a chance.
Okay. Walk out of here, go downstairs and walk out of the building and north along Madison a few blocks. Then take a cab home.
That's all?
That's all.
All right, but...
Don't worry. There'll be another installment. She used the elevator, I used the stairs. That let me get down to the lobby and behind a curtain before she made it. She went out of the building and walked north along Madison Avenue. The car on the opposite side of the street didn't move. That meant more work for me. The back alley was dark and cold. But it let me out half a block down from the entrance, half a block down and behind the waiting car. I crossed the street fast and moved in. The boy in the car was too busy watching the building entrance. I got the door open, reached in and...
Go on.
I hope this hurts. He lost interest for a while. I slid into the seat beside him and went through his pockets. I found the gun without any trouble. It was still faintly warm. I broke the gun and found 2 bullets left. He hadn't bothered reloading. Who? The butler, Groves, of course.
Oh.
Wake up. You can't stay in a coma forever, Groves.
What? Oh. Mr. Craig.
Mr. Craig. Don't bother reaching for anything. I've got the gun.
Yes, sir.
Think you're up to driving?
Yes, sir.
Then let's get started.
Very well, sir. To the police, sir?
Don't rush things. Let's make it the house first. You really should give your employers notice, shouldn't you? Groves.
Yes, sir?
How long has it been going on?
How long has what been going on?
The thefts from the house.
That
tells me there have been thefts, but it doesn't tell me how long.
Peter Hansen was a selfish, grasping
Don't
old man.
Don't speak ill of the dead.
Why not? After they've done ill to the living.
Meaning who?
Miss Mona, sir. He wouldn't give her anything. Let her live the way she wanted to live.
So she stole.
I don't know, sir. But if she did, what matter? It was coming to her anyway, half of it, as soon as Mr. Henson died.
She should have been patient.
I know it doesn't look good for her. I overheard back at the house, but...
That's why you took those pot shots at me?
Yes, sir.
And why you were waiting outside the building. Okay. Rose, Peter Hansen was crazy about chess, wasn't he?
Yes, sir.
A man as rich as that would own a fine set. Ivory. Antique and expensive.
He does, sir.
You mean he did? The Red Queen I found in his hand was wood. So was the set it came from.
I don't know, sir.
I can guess. He found out tonight that someone had stolen the ivory set and substituted a wooden one for it. That's why he was coming to me with a specimen. He wanted me to trace it so he could prove who'd stolen the ivory set. Oh, you better stop. We're at the house. Don't bother knocking. It'll be the study. Yeah, but this time you come in with me.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Craig. Rose, what?
He didn't have a chance to use up the last two bullets, Mrs. Bailey.
What last two bullets? What's going on?
Groves tried to murder me, Mr. Hansen.
He did? Dreadful, but why?
He's afraid I might pin the killing of Peter Hansen on Mrs. Bailey.
Oh, really? But she couldn't have killed him, could she?
Are you asking me?
Well, you seem to know.
Well, how about that alibi you handed her?
Well, I didn't want any unpleasantness, but, well, if you have other evidence, have you?
I have.
Then I'm afraid I shall have to admit we weren't together all the time. As a matter of fact, I wasn't even home.
I know you weren't.
Now, you can't blame me for trying to shield Mona.
Oh, I can't. What I'm blaming you for is trying to hang the killing on her.
Hang the killing on her? Why, you're mad. Why would I do that?
You might object to being electrocuted. It's unpleasant.
Electrocuted? For what?
The murder of your brother. Now, don't move! I got his arm before he could get at the gun he was carrying. It was only a flesh wound, but he was the sensitive type. He fainted. The police revived him.
That would seem to be that.
Yeah.
You didn't really have any proof against him.
He was anxious to tell me you were a suspect. In a hurry. He set up the alibi and made it look as though he were lying for your benefit. He didn't try very hard to make the lie sound good. Why? Because he didn't want it believed. That gave me enough to go on.
I don't think it was nearly enough.
Also,
Yes, Barry.
He wouldn't make anyone dream of the springtime.
You've been listening to William Gargan in another exciting transcribed mystery drama from the adventures of Barry Craig, confidential investigator. Tonight's story, The Crimson Queen, was written by Lou Vittis. Next week, it's the strange story titled The Vanished Lady, about which Barry Craig has this to say.
Next week, a laughing killer finds the laugh is on himself. A blonde turns gray when a corpse comes to life. And a gunsmith finds that shooting off his mouth can be fatal. Good night, folks. See you next week.
Bromo Seltzer, famous for fast relief of headache and upset stomach, and the National Broadcasting Company have presented Barry Craig, confidential investigator, starring William Gargan. Featured in the role of Mona was Barbara Weeks. Carl Caruso speaking.
There's more to a child in an iron lung than meets the eye. Beside her is American Sympathy, And these are the days that sympathy becomes action as all America joins the 1953 March of Dimes. Your dimes and dollars sent to your local March of Dimes headquarters today promise all prisoners of polio a brighter tomorrow. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.